Well, we won't follow our normal format today because we have a very, very special guest who is already on the line. Janice, would you like to introduce him?
I certainly would. He is a friend. He and his wife have been friends for a long time of mine. We go back many decades in the civil rights and human rights struggle. I'm so proud of what they have been accomplishing, both in the Congress and on the DeKalb County Commission. He is Congressman Hank Johnson. He is no stranger to this program. He's often on with us. Congressman Johnson serves on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee in the United States House of Representatives. He also serves on the Judiciary Committee. He is a lawyer by trade. He's a graduate of Thurgood Marshall Law School. He is the top Democrat on the Judiciary Subcommittee on Courts, Intellectual Property, and the Internet, which if you've been reading and following the news, you know that that is an important subject matter area. He represents Georgia's 4th Congressional District that includes parts of DeKalb, Gwinnett, Newton, and all of Rockdale County. He is Hank Johnson, Jr., and he's been in the Congress since 2007. And he's had some interesting legislation that he's pushing in the last few weeks, and that's why I'm so delighted, Congressman Johnson, that you could join us today. Welcome.
Well, I thank you all so much. I'm just honored to join my sisters-in-law, Janice and DeVita Mathis. It's an honor to be with you all today, and I thank you for having me.
Well, the pleasure's all ours. I read with great interest that you are supporting some litigation that's coming out of Georgia in the area of voter suppression, or at least making sure we protect our right to vote under the Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, I'm happy to have been a part of this effort to make sure that Georgia is held accountable for the kinds of lines that it has drawn and the districts that have been created, despite Georgia having, more than 20%, let's say, of the state's population in terms of blacks and brown people and Democrats. We have only 4 of 14 seats in the House of Representatives, and that is in accordance with the redistricting that has been done by Republicans in the Georgia House of Representatives and Georgia Senate. They have seen fit to create districts that either pack Democrats into districts, or in the case of a couple of legislative districts on the state level, they actually withdrew Democratic voters from districts so that they could make sure that they had a substantial number of Republicans and guarantee those Republicans could get reelected. And so I'm happy to join in the or to be a part of the lawsuit that attacks this process of taking people out of districts, taking Democrats out of districts instead of packing them in, because you had already done that. And then you come along with John Barrow's district in Augusta, and you take voters out of that district, and then you make it such that a Republican can win it. And so that's the gist of the lawsuit that has been filed in Georgia.
And it's so ironic because that particular district you're talking about has got some of the blackest counties in Georgia in it, mm-hmm. right around Augusta and going on down towards Savannah. Some of the heaviest concentration of black folk in Georgia are in those areas, and yet you can jump around blocks and streets and pick and choose the voters. Some people say it's not the electorate that's choosing the representatives, it's the representatives choosing the electorate.
Yeah, that's right. So whether or not the American people's right to vote is infringed by doing that becomes a question that the courts have to decide. And we've had some U.S. Supreme Court decisions that have come down in the area of voter protection and rights of voters that have quite frankly been not good for the rights of African American voters, and it's very important that people exercise this right to vote on a state level, but also on a federal level, because we see now where President Trump is appointing people to the bench with lifetime tenure who have a demonstrated history of being antagonistic to the rights of African Americans to vote. And so when you get people on the bench who are making these decisions about whether or not certain conduct is lawful and constitutional, and they consistently go against the interest of African American voters, we see ourselves being able to be taken back in time to a period where people who like that mantra of make America great again, that was the America where we didn't have rights. So it's very important that we get out, exercise this right to vote. We have an ability to weigh in November and actually turn this state blue with a Democratic governor who has veto power over the reapportionment and redistricting that the state legislature will do in 2020.
Well, Congressman Hank Johnson, I can't think of a better reason why Georgians would get out and vote in mass numbers in this so-called midterm election. Our music is playing, and that means we have to take a break, but we hope that you can stay with us for another segment.
I can.
Oh, thank you so much. We look forward to talking to you more about that very important issue. You're listening to Sisters in Law News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
They are real sisters and real lawyers. Janice and Davita Mathis are the sisters in law on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Got a legal question?
Hello.
Need some advice? Call Janice and Davita Mathis now at 404-892-2703. The sisters in law are on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Afternoon, Atlanta, and welcome back to Sisters in Law News and Talk 1380 WAOK. We are so honored to have Congressman Johnson with us today. He's talking about gerrymandering and our imperative to get out and vote during this midterm election season. Congressman, we are watching the news, and it is horrifying what we're seeing concerning the immigrants. In Brownsville and even in Miami, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Congresswoman Frederica Wilson are in Florida now, and I understand they have not been able to get into the facilities that are housing many of the children who are being detained. Is there a legislative a solution that the Congress can come up with to solve the problem of those 2,300 or so children who have already been separated from their parents?
Yeah, there is a legislative solution, but this was a executive decision to separate these children from their parents at the border. These are actually refugees who are fleeing violence in Central America. People who, they're coming from the murder capitals of the world down in El Salvador and Honduras. they're escaping the ravages of the war on drugs south of our border, which has been a complete and abysmal failure south of the border as it has been north of the border. So while north of the border we're criminalizing and putting people in jail, down south of the border, it's created a climate of violence and lawlessness that actually drives people to our borders seeking safety. And so it was an executive decision to separate children at the border from their parents. 2,300 or so children are involved. They've been spread around the nation now. Parents don't know where they are. The children don't know where their parents are. Many of them may never be reunited with their families because as we speak, their parents are being deported. And so this leaves these children here pretty much as wards of this country. Some of the parental rights will be terminated as folks try to adopt these cute little children who belong to someone else. It is a inhumane policy that Trump put into place, and as he put it into place, he took it off the table by his executive order this week stopping the separations. And so, yes, Congress can take action to legislate the solution, to say that it will no longer be legal to separate children. But I'm happy that the public fervor that rose up against these child separations, just like they did against the Muslim ban. It was the people who rose up, and Donald Trump decided to change and get that heat off of him. And so I'm glad that that has been done. But now we're left to pick up the pieces to try to reunite these children with their parents. And it's going to be a difficult thing to do because when Trump decided to implement this policy, they had no desire to actually reunite these children with their families. And so it's one of the biggest inhumanities that has been perpetrated thus far by this administration.
Well, is it accurate that the executive order that the president was so anxious to pick up and show the country after he signed it, is it true that it does not address the 2,300 or so children who are already separated from their parents?
That's exactly right. It just simply says, moving forward, we will detain everyone, including the kids. We'll keep them together, however. And so that is a process that will be challenged in court because when the Obama administration detained families who were coming across the border in that wave of families trying to get across during his last year, I believe it was in office, it was probably 2015, but they were detaining folks. Lawsuit was filed because you can't detain these children. They are not guilty of any criminal offense. And so you cannot, they have rights also in this country. And so there was a settlement that was agreed to by the government that limited the duration of detentions for families to 20 days. And so the clock is now ticking on that process, and something will have to happen to either waive that 20-day requirement or some other solution. So we look for there to be litigation on this issue. It ain't over yet, as they say.
Well,
won't be over anytime soon because those children will suffer the after effects of this trauma for years, if not decades to come. I wanted to go back to the voting issue. I know you're on the Judiciary Committee. And there was a Supreme Court case. You mentioned some of these cases that are coming down from the court. The Husted, I believe it is, case with the A. Philip Randolph Institute involving the voter purging in Ohio. Have you had a chance to take a look at that and maybe give us some enlightenment?
And what the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled is that a voter who fails to vote can have his or her name taken off the voter rolls. And, you know, then that person is left to have to re-register if they're going to exercise that right to vote. So it is a it was a process that that the state of I believe it was Ohio.
That's right,
instituted.
Ohio.
And that process essentially was that if you don't vote, we're going to take your name off of the voting rolls. And so while a person has a right to vote, they also have a right to not vote. Now, it may not be wise for them to do that. We've seen the effects of folks deciding not to vote, and I really hope that folks will decide not to exercise their right not to vote this year, but you certainly have it. I hope folks will exercise their right to vote, because when you vote, you make things happen. If you don't vote, you let things happen. And but nevertheless, just as you have that right to vote, you have a right not to vote, and you should not be penalized for not voting. Voting we should make easy in this country. We should not make it difficult. We should not put up barriers to people exercising that right to vote. And that's what the U.S. Supreme Court that's what they sanctioned in the Husted versus A. Philip Randolph Institute decision. Now you'll see states coming up with draconian solutions or draconian consequences when people decide not to exercise the right to vote, or they may have just simply forgotten, they should not be penalized for that. And we need
but
a U.S. Supreme Court.
We can probably expect to see those states that want to suppress the vote use that decision as an excuse to spread that Ohio-type purge to other states. Is that reasonable to assume?
Yeah, you're right, and I like that word, purge. They want to get as many names of certain people off of the voting rolls and keep them from voting. Republicans have a strategy. It's been a long-held strategy, and that is the fewer people who vote, the better off they are. So they want to try to keep people from voting. They want to try to keep the masses from voting. And if we let them do it, we suffer as a consequence.
Well, Congressman Hank Johnson, thank you so much for coming on with us. We really appreciate it. You know, you have an open invitation to call us at any time, because we need this information. And we know they're trying to purge. They have purged votes in Georgia, and we want the people to fight back, not just by protesting and making their voices heard, but to march to the polls and vote in very, very large numbers. We thank you so much.
Thank you all, and have a great day.
Thanks, Congressman. See you soon.
You're listening to Sisters-in-Law News and Talk 1380 WAOK.